That's going to be the most tormenting time in hell. All I had to do was leave Lil Wayne, Kanye West, Jay-Z, and these freak, stank, nasty rappers behind, and I would have made it in. But I tried to drag that filth across the Jordan River, and God had to leave me out of the equation. That's the biggest torment. Why didn't I listen and take heed? The stupidity behind what's going to put people in hell is the most tormenting thing of all. I want to lay up with some nasty stank dude between my legs for 30 minutes, and I coveted it enough to go to hell behind it. And look at the nasty stank bomb you laying around with. You wanted this nasty dog more than you wanted eternal life. That's crazy. The cursing, the abuse, the filth, the degradation, the humiliation, the downgradation of your soul. You coveted that more than God. And he sent you a strong delusion to believe a lie because you wanted the devil more than you wanted God. What's happening all around the church right now? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. You know, on Sunday we teach enough to last for the week. We do it on purpose. Used to be back in the old days when folk used to preach, they'd go to church at 10 o'clock and leave at 5 in the afternoon. Isn't that crazy? You can watch TV all week. You can hang around. You was at the club from 10 o'clock at night to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But you were being entertained. It didn't discipline you for God. It had you entertaining yourself to enjoy self. We was at the conference and some lady told another lady, he sure is long-winded. My question is, why you come down here? This is not for you. We're the disciplined military people. This is a military assignment formatted for soldiers of God to be disciplined. It's not about nobody, a little tenderoni that can't stay in the conflict. You don't believe it? You go to boot camp for real physically in the military. They wake you at 5 o'clock in the morning. And you go to sleep when they say that night. 8:45, lights out. 5 o'clock, we're getting up. And you're going to go all day until we tell you. Say, Sarge, I need to use the restroom. Boy, use the restroom when I tell you to. Hold it till I tell you to go. But Sarge, what'd you say, boy? Nothing, sir. I was just thinking. Boy, look, that's another thing. You think when I tell you to think, boy. You got the nerve to be thinking. I tell you, you hit this ground and you give me 80 push-ups, boy. You got no business thinking in my ranks. You out here in my ranks thinking. I don't want nobody thinking around me, boy. You looking at that joker like, what have I gotten myself into? Why did I join this mess? He getting all that out of you. And the ones that won't conform, you know what you see them doing? Dragging that duffel bag to the nearest bus station and sending them back home to mama. No man is crowned unless he strive lawfully. You got to play by the rules and walk in this thing, man. And that means leaving self out, abdicating everything you were in the world, drop it off, and you be conformed to Jesus Christ. That's it. I don't have any opinions. I got no ideas. I bring none of my thoughts into this. I am told what to do by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I obey him. We are called to, the Bible says, the obedience of faith. You do as you are told, not to man, but God through Jesus Christ as Lord instructs you on what to do. All we do is teach you to the foot of Christ to be conformed to him. Now what you do after that, I have no idea. See, folks try to ask me questions sometimes past the ordained parameters. Well, what do I do about this? I tell them, I have no idea what you do about that. Well, I thought you was, you thought I was what? I got you to Christ. Now you need to see Christ and find out what to do. Because there are situations in life that nobody can tell you the answer to. I don't know your situation. I'm not getting beat up by your husband like you. Well, should I leave him? I have no idea. I'm not there getting beat up. Now, what kind of preacher would, hey, look. I don't go past my assigned responsibilities. I'm not called to be lords over God's inheritance. I'm called to get you to Christ, get you to the foot of the cross, Abdicate everything about that flesh. Let the demons go. Now, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's how it goes. What did Mary finally tell those folk with those water pots? Whatever he says, do it. After he told Mary to shut up and get out of the way. You know, not he didn't say it in that term, but that's what he meant. What have I to do with you, woman? My hour has not come yet. In other words, why don't you shut up with that Jezebel spirit and back off of me, because you ain't really my mama anyway. I made you. You didn't make me. The vessel he made is now trying to, Lord, they have no wine. They have no wine. Look, will you please go somewhere and be quiet? That's been a plague on women all down through the generations, always trying to hop in with an idea or a thought. Like the drill sergeant told you, why don't you stop thinking and go to praying or something? But it's something that got the mind racing, trying to think up stuff all the time. And some of the stuff you cannot figure out. Everybody wants an answer. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, right now I'm going to drink this glass of Kool-Aid right here and probably take a nap. Some things are not answerable. There's no answer right now. So you got to let it do what? Play itself out. Life sometimes is like taking a snapshot. You snap the picture, but it's not developed yet. I don't know what's going on yet. Let it develop. Old folks used to tell you, look, man, if the wash water don't get it, the rinse water will. Sometimes your clothes are dirty and you wash them, it's a little bit of stain left, but that last rinse, we get that last little bit of dirt out of that clothes. He said, look, the wash water didn't get it all, let the rinse cycle take care of it. Just wait. A lot of things God is working on. You can't hurry God up. He's working on things. So therefore, no sense of me trying to, he's not going to do what I try to make it do anyway. I command you, God, to, they're going to look at you like, you know what? You know what? When I get to slap you up the street, when I slap you up the street now, you lose all 32 of your teeth, you'll stop all the commanding me. You got to just accept some things that you can't do anything about. This is the way it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians. Now look at these people now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what's going on right now. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you. I have actually got you betrothed to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, I'm afraid, lest by any man, as the serpent beguiled. What does beguiled mean? Trick, deceived Eve through a subtlety. You know what subtlety is? Softness, tenderness. He came to Eve. Eve, listen, girl. Have God said. He wasn't yelling at her. He was a what? A smooth operator. I used to listen to Sade. You know how you felt when you listened to Sade and you were dreaming about that guy. Yes, what I want. I can see him now in the club. Look at that. Look at him coming to the club. Look at him. Man, that boy sharp. That's a smooth dude coming easing over you. Hey, baby. You here by yourself? And his voice, you just feel them chill go down your spine. I know my girlfriend. Can I buy you a drink? You're thinking, smooth operator. Smooth operator. That's how the devil did Eve. He slipped her. He was smooth. Subtlety. So your mind should not be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This thing is simple, but you corrupt your mind, it'll become convoluted and complicated. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, there are two Jesuses in the Bible, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, there are two spirits in the Bible to be baptized in, which you have not received, or another gospel, there's another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him, for I supposed I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Well, why weren't you paying your tithes in Corinth? The man robbing another church and bringing you some stuff. You're not paying your tithes up in here. Paul didn't mention tithing one time in the New Testament. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now the NIV says that better for us to understand it than the King James does. That's a verse, that's an example of how the NIV says it better. Anybody got an NIV? What does it say in the NIV for verse 12? They want to be considered to be equal with us. But if you read it in the King James, occasion that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. You stand there thinking like, what is he talking about? What he's saying is these folks that come with this false gibberish want to be equal to us, trying to look like us. That's why it says next, what? For such are what? False apostles. Pseudo-apostolos in the Greek. False apostles. There are false apostles down here. Care how many business cards they went to Staples and had printed up. Deceitful workers. They are the ambassadors of Satan. They use deceit. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They come in the name of the other Jesus, leading you to a false salvation. Entertainment that led you to this false Jesus. And no marvel, don't be amazed, don't be shocked, be shock proof. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel, a messenger of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Don't be shocked by false teachers and preachers leading you back to the flesh, leading you back to Egypt, leading you back to Babylonian captivity, giving you a false Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. They're here now, and they're inundating the masses with their filth, and people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. You got to wake up. You got to become viciously driven to get into the kingdom. You got to make your calling and election sure. You got to come in boldly. You got to enter the kingdom through much tribulation, and you got to go in violently. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to fight through all the debris, and you got to have a violent entry into the kingdom of God. Look what he said in verse 26. He says, referring to himself in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. This boy was in some perilous times, wasn't he? In perils in the sea, in perils where? Among false brethren who creep in unawares, bringing in damnable doctrines to try to bind you. The Bible says they spy out what? Your liberty. They're coming to put a shackle around your neck and bind you to false doctrine, bind you to legalism, bind you to something that they believe about the gospel that's not true. False, deceitful workers that came from Satan to try to put a shackle around your neck. In perils among false brethren. You better know that before you start calling everybody your brother or sister in the Lord. You got to be shock proof. What does it take to be shockproof? You got to be insulated. You know, in electrical realms, a good conductor of electricity is water and metals. That's why you hanging around an electrical wire with a ring on or a chain on, you touch it then, it's going to actually go through the ring into you. It's going to actually be a good conductor of electricity. Put on rubber gloves, what will happen? You insulate yourself because rubber is not a good conductor of electricity. You need to be shockproof by insulating yourself from the environment. You got to cut off the ability to transmit the devil's electricity from the outside of you into you to affect you. You got to insulate yourself to become shockproof. Water and metals are good conductors. That's why when it's raining and it's lightning outside, don't go outside playing with the hose in a pool of water swimming, and it's ground out of ground electricity coming all around you, and you're swimming in the pool. You're about to get your butt blown away because that water is a good conductor. And some people just do silly things, you know. Outside current won't flow into you to shock you when you're properly insulated. How do you insulate yourself? Fasting, insulation, prayer, insulation, praise and worship of Almighty God, insulation, Bible study, insulation, preaching, insulation, teaching, insulation, and the main thing, consecration, which is another word for sanctification. How do you get consecrated? First of all, you must separate yourself from the unclean. See, the separation from the unclean is not sanctification. Sanctification is dedicating yourself unto God. So you got to separate to dedicate. You can't bring the unclean into God's presence. Without separation, there's no consecration. So before you come to God, you got to leave the filth outside the gate so you can be sanctified unto God. Separation from, sanctification unto. Separation from, consecration unto. Leave behind to go into another place and arena with God. You can't bring Egypt into the promised land. The act of consecrating took place in the wilderness. He was purging Egypt off of the people, and he couldn't get it off of them. So what did he do? He killed them in the wilderness. You won't let Egypt go, so I'm going to circle you until you die. And I'll have another generation born in the wilderness that doesn't know anything about Egypt, and I'll bring them in. And I'll leave two guys that were already consecrated, Joshua and Caleb, to train up that new breed. Because they were willing to do what? Forsake Egypt from day one. The Bible says Caleb had what? Another spirit. He had another spirit. I hate Egypt. I hate it being a slave. I want no parts of it. We can take the promised land. The giants are nothing to me. We're coming in here with the living God to destroy everything in sight. Notice how we sell people. Okay, we want a boot camp. We're going to take this thing by force. Look at them stall up on our live stream. Look how they stall. Look how they get afraid. You know why? You got Egypt in your heart. You can make every excuse you want to. This is not the same thing. You're an Egyptian trying to cloak as a Christian. So when somebody calls you up to take the promised land and says, look, we're going in here violently to accost these demons, fallen angels, and all the satanic powers, and you stall, you got Egypt in your heart. You talk a good game, but you do nothing because you got no guts, especially you guys. You testosterone depleted guys. Stop talking anything about the Bible. Shut your mouth about Jesus Christ until you're born again. Because you're kidding yourself. You'll sit there talking about prices, guilty of heavy shepherding. And he's so mean. He seems so argumentative against the devil. Lucifer really isn't that bad of a guy. Look, man, what's wrong with you? Put down that purse and those lace drawers and those slippers, man. What is wrong with you? You got women of war ready to go in and take the kingdom by force, and you're the whining little crybaby. not weaned from your mother's breast. What is wrong with you? This message all by itself should call up 10,000 guys worldwide all by itself without me even trying hard. A guy should say, you know what? Yeah, man. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and settle this thing once and for all. I'm ready for finality. Let's just go head on. We see the world is not going to change. They embrace homosexuality. They embrace all this weird, freaked out stuff. Okay, we got that settled. That's them over there. Let's just call out from amongst them. He says, come out from amongst them. Touch not the unclean thing. And under those conditions, God says, I'll receive you unto me. You'll be my people and I'll be your God if you sanctify yourself from the unclean. I shall be unto you a God and you shall be my people, was what he said verbatim. If you just leave behind Egypt and Babylon, leave the witchcraft of Babylon behind, leave the Egyptian culture behind. Look how Jay-Z and all these fomenting rappers bring what? The Egyptian God worship with them. And now you want to bring hip hop and rap bathed in Egyptian God worship before God. That's a judgment against you. The scriptures cry out against you, man. And you persist with your proud self in telling God he will accept what you're giving. You are Cain. You have now become Esau. You are Ishmael. You're offering up strange fire before God. And it's not going to the God of heaven and earth. It's going to your God. Satan receives that worship. And he's alienating your mind more and more as you worship him. You'll become more and more foreign. As you offer strange fire, you become a stranger to God. Consecration and sanctification separate from sin to be sanctified and set apart to God. You see that separation is necessary. We stressed it a minute ago in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19 to 26. I'll reiterate it. To reinforce it and grind it into your mind, to bind it to your mind, how this thing is so important. We just read it, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. We got to reinforce it, though. We got to get this thing down in you real deep so you can see it and walk in it from day to day. You want it in you real deep. You want it bound to you. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart, leave behind, separate from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You try to come amongst the saints. You come to a conference, but you're a vessel of dishonor. You can only go just so far. Because you're not fit for the master to use you. You're not going to stay around this. It's going to drop you out by nature. The Bible says by nature you're a child of wrath. You can't stay where the Spirit of God is indwelling because your nature won't let you. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what these? The vessels of dishonor. Then it'll make you a vessel unto honor, sanctified, consecrated, and meet or useful for the master, and prepare unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That stuff you knew as a child, that junk you listened to as a child in the music genres, leave that junk alone, man. That was for kids. That was for babies. That was for thumb-sucking little infants. Come on up higher out of that trash, man, and live. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. What's a snare? It's like when an animal in the wilderness has been trapped. And that thing has got his leg caught and he can't get loose. Recovered out of the snare of the devil, who are taken and captivated by him at his discretion. He hunts for unstable souls and he snares them based on their own lust. Let no man say when he's tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with sin, neither does he tempt any man. But you are tempted when you're led away by your own lust. Your own lust. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth the sin. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift, cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is neither shadow, there is neither variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. That's a fact, Jack. When you're snared, your own desires and lust for Egypt put you in that snare. You came out of Egypt mindful of it. The Bible said, had we been mindful of it, we would have had occasion to return to it. You're thinking about Egypt. You're going to start off with Christian hip hop and rap, but buddy, you're going back. You're going back to the vomit like a dog and wallowing in the mire like a pig, because you really never left it. You brought it with you. And the devil's deceiving you as an angel of light, having you bound all along the trail while you profess to be free. It's a trick of the devil. You mentally ascended to your salvation, but you never left Egypt. Talking about what the Lord has done for you. But he that began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. You got to keep progressing, or you'll double back from whence you came. So you see now, the Lord is at work. Look at Colossians. Last scripture we'll read, Colossians. Man, this thing is in effect. You got to be shockproof. You got to be insulated. You got to be sanctified and consecrated not to be shocked by what's about to happen down here, because it's coming like a freight train. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is into all the world, and brings forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to its glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes what? Alienated and enemies in what? Your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You find in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18, what does he say? You were alienated from the life of God. Ephesians chapter 4, 17, 18, read it in your own time. Alienated from the life of God in your mind. Vain imaginations, your own thinking processes, alienated you from the life of God. He says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away, fall away. If you don't apostatize, if you be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Chapter 2 tells you to avoid error. Stay away from error. He gets to chapter 2, verse 20, and talks about being bound by legalism. Look what he says. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, rules, laws, and regulations? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Remember, the Jews established the laws that they magnified from the laws given to Moses. They increased the laws through what they called verbal doctrines. They passed on doctrines that were verbal. Jesus called it traditions. By your traditions, you nullify the law of God. That's why you see Jewish books that were written that magnified verbal tradition over the law of God. So you get the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is nothing but Jewish mysticism that they learned in Babylon. They took Babylonian mysticism and made it into a Jewish book. And now you got Jewish mysticism. And you know, Madonna is a Kabbalist. She worships Kabbalah and she learned Jewish mysticism to rise to preeminence in the world, practicing magic. But it's Jewish magic. It's all about coming up with some way to offset God's commands with doctrines and laws and regulations that came from men. He says all of this will perish with the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It looks good to folks. You got on that long veil. You got that head rag. You got all white down to your ankles. You're looking through little slits where the eyes are, like you're so covered up in a holy woman. Sounds good and looks good to the flesh. Looks like you're a sanctified holy woman. God says it's nothing but trash. Inside you're full of dead men's bones. You're rotten to the core on the inside with all that outward junk on the outside. You can't perform your way into this. You've got to get a whole new life. You got to trade in the old for the new. You see, Jesus made everything. He's over everything that's trying to stop you. Notice I had mentioned all those things back in the first chapter of Corinthians. He's above thrones and dominions and principalities. There are 9 ranks of angels in heaven. Seraphims, cherubims, thrones. Those are the first tier of angels. The second tier are dominions, virtues, and powers. The third tier are principalities, archangels, and angels. So Jesus is over all of them. The word seraphim actually means the burning ones. The seraphims are on fire. He makes his ministers, they're the attendants around God's throne. He makes his ministering angels flames of fire. Seraphim, that root word serah means fire, burning one. A seraph is a burning one. He got a being that's actually on fire. I don't even want to think about what that looks like. You know, the cherubim are the four-faced creatures. Face of an ox, the face of a man. They had different faces on these cherubims. Thrones, dominions, which means lordships. Virtues means strongholds. Powers are authorities. Principalities are governing angels. Archangels, the one mentioned in the Bible, you know, the two that we know about in the Bible are Michael and Gabriel. But other books that are not included in the canon of scripture, you find other archangels. You find Raphael and Uriel in the Apocrypha and other books. So you see that these are governing archangels. Michael is an archangel. The word arch means a ruler over. He's a ruler over the other angels. The last tier of angels are the angels which are messengers. The word angel actually means a messenger. You find them in Daniel chapter 10. A messenger angel came down to give Daniel a message. He encountered contrary demonic forces and angelic forces above Daniel. So an archangel, a ruling angel, Michael, came down to help that angel war through the adversaries trying to stop him from bringing a message to Daniel. These are real powers going on all the time now. That's why you got to stay down in prayer. You're empowering angels to fight a productive warfare. He told Daniel, the messenger told him, I have come because of your words. I responded to what you were saying. When you began to pray, God dispatched me. I encountered the prince of Persia trying to stop me, but Michael was dispatched. He called him Michael, your prince. Archangels govern regions of the globe. Michael is the prince of Israel. He wars on behalf of the Israelites. You engage the Israelites, you gotta also engage the warring angels that belong to Michael's army. You're gonna fight more than just the Israelites, good buddy. Surround them by 40 million Arabs in the 8-day war. 5 million Jews surrounded by 40 million Arabs. And you see who won? Because they were dealing with angelic forces. You remember Elijah and Gehazi said, man, we're going to lose. This army is against us. We got no help. He said, Lord, open this boy's eyes. And he saw angels and chariots sitting there in battle array ready to fight. If we really understood what we had at our disposal and what was with us, we would stop being shockproof. You fight a productive warfare. You stand up in prayer, stand up in fasting, consecrate yourself, isolate yourself from the world, separate from Egypt. Man, forces go on display on your behalf in the spirit world because you're a consecrated vessel fit for the master to use. Now it's Christ speaking through you ex cathedra. Now when you speak to Ananias and Sapphira, they're dead, not because Peter was offended. Man, you offended the Holy Ghost. He just used Peter's vocal cords to pronounce the judgment. Had nothing to do with Peter. This is where we're going, folks. We're about to see God make the church shockproof so that the church will be filled with ambassadors and warriors to win a warfare. It's the warfare of the saints. Somebody else talking about the good things of God being positive. Don't talk about negativity. Don't bring up the devil. Don't bring up Satan. We should just talk about the Lord and talk about Jesus and God and talk about heaven. Man, you're going to lose. You got to identify the enemy to cast down that enemy. Something's got a hold on your kids. Something's got a hold on your wife or your husband. Something's got a hold on your mom and your daddy. Something's got a hold on the people on your job. Somebody's got to fight to set a captive free. You can't set a captive free unless you first bind the strong man. See, what people want you to do is to agree to disagree and back off of them. I'm not backing off of you hip-hop boys and you rap boys. I'm going to be contrary to you right to the end. Because without somebody being contrary, you have no hope of getting free. When somebody agrees with you, that eliminates your ability to be set free. Because now we passively agree with what's wrong, and now you just have this docile, non-combative environment where we just agree to disagree. We go along to get along. And the devil preaches it all day long, and he calls it what? Tolerance. That's why the devil preaches tolerance, so you won't confront him. The devil is telling you, pleading with you, tolerate me, put up with me. Because if you don't confront me, I'll never be cast down, and I'll rule this world forever because nobody has the guts to confront me. And those of you bound by Egypt, with your soul still in Babylon, you are offended by a confrontation of the devil. Why? Because the devil's still in you. He has seats of authority in your mind. and you won't let the devil go. Let the devil go and become a vessel fit for the master to use. It's time to insulate, isolate, consecrate, dedicate yourself to God, and become shockproof. So when the devil exerts that electrical energy flowing toward you, a 10,000 volt charge, you're surrounded by the rubber of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And the devil can't get through because, devil, I'm insulated. The apostle put it this way. None of these things move me. It's not my world. You can watch the world burn to the ground. It don't have no impact on you. What we're about to see is this. Natural disasters, calamity all over us and around us, flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, huge monolithic occurrences on this planet never seen before. It's going to look like the movie 2012. And the Christians sitting here with hot dogs and weenie roast going on, and you got all kind of marshmallow and stuff over a fire just humming. And everybody wondering, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I got no problems. The world is coming to an end. Buddy, that's your world, not mine. It don't have any impact on me. It's not my world. Don't you know if somebody stole a car down the street and they're driving off at 90 miles per hour, you're not running after the car. You know why? It's not my car. I got no pony in the race. I got nothing to lose. And the most terrifying person of all to the devil is the person that's got nothing to lose. What can he threaten you with? I don't even care about being alive anymore. I don't even want to be here. Man, you are the ultimate threat. And so all of your resources shift to that which is ending this. That's why they go to world changes. You know why they go to world changes? Because he promised you a return in the here and now for what you give. You're making the wrong investment. You should be investing in eternal life and spreading the real gospel to the world. They're telling you need a $65 million jet to preach the gospel to the world. And don't even have the right gospel. You invested in a $65 million jet to go tell somebody a black lie. And the people emptied their pocketbooks to it and proud about it and brag about it. And not even preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got another gospel inspired by another spirit, preaching another gospel to the people, bringing another Jesus to bear on their lives. And they believe it's true because I can't fathom me giving all this money to this thing and it's not real. I've been here 10 years. I put $45,000 into this, and I can't bear the reality of it not being true. I would lose my mind to think that I wasted $45,000 over here at World Changers buying this man all this stuff. God is going right to him. And then they tell you, well, Dr. Dollar, you don't understand. He makes his money from writing books. They have a record company. And he doesn't receive one dime from the ministry. I know, because the con already been worked. The con already worked. Residuals are paying him now because the con has worked. Now you're trying to paint him as a humble man that doesn't receive anything from the ministry because he already conned you. There are none so blind as those that will not see. And see what they're doing now, they're not protecting Dollar anymore. They're protecting their own sanity. Because if this is not real, man, I put my whole retirement into this. I got to get back a 100-fold return. I got to. My kids' college fund I put into this. It got to work. Please let it work. All I can tell you is, it's not going to work. You put $45,000 in the slot machine. You got a lemon, an apple, and an orange. You roll the dice. You got a 3 on one dice and a 2 on the other one. Sorry. You crapped out. You believed a lie. You had itching ears and gave heed to fables. But now I'm here to tell you, look, it's all right. The place is going to be burned up anyway. Dollar's Mansion will be burned up with the rest of it. Don't worry about it. The Gulfstream 650, G650 will be burned up with the rest of it. Don't make no difference. Why not save your soul now? Forget the stuff. Cut your losses. Forget it. Sanctify yourself unto the Lord. Grab a piece of driftwood. Grab a lawn chair off the deck of the Titanic and float to shore. It's by any means necessary now. It's like you're rocking a storm, hitting Paul's ship. Man, I got a piece of driftwood. I got an old log. As long as I make it in the shore, man. It's like the movie Jaws after the ship blew up and burned up. Them guys were left at the end of Jaws hanging on to an old piece of something kicking. Flutter kicking into shore. Well, at least we know that the shark did. His brother might be down there, but we ain't seen him. We'll just flutter kick on in. That's how you are right now. Forget all the glamour and the glitz. This is a fully operational combat unit now dropped behind enemy lines. That's the church now. Osteen duped you. Copeland duped you. Kenneth Hagin duped you in the day. Or Roberts started off with a healing ministry and then he ended up building hospitals. I thought you had a healing ministry. Why you been in hospitals? Creflo Dollar learned from Copeland. See, magicians make magicians. But you pay the master magicians to train you as an apprentice. Creflo Dollar is the magician's apprentice. Merlin trained him. Merlin the magician trained him to work the magic on the little black group. And he paid his tithe to Kenneth Copeland for training him as a magician. Fred Price learned his magic from Kenneth Hagin until Hagin told him, there's no such thing as a white man marrying a black woman or whites and blacks mixing. I don't believe in the mixing of the races. And him and Fred Price fell out. This is all nothing but the magic of Jannies and Jamborees. And folks don't like me if I say it. Why? Because they've been duped by it. And it's too much to bear to think I've been taken captive by the devil at his will. I went for it. Cut your losses, bail out. We need a base camp. Conducting warfare, building warriors to take the real gospel around the world and save as many as we can off of this sinking ship. And then the end shall come. It's the last push of God. The last surge of God to ingather one harvest, and then the end shall come. He says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a witness, and then the end shall come. He's got to build shockproof vessels that are not going to be stopped because I'm shockproof. We went out to dinner last night down here at Atlantic Station in Atlanta. Nice dinner. Five couples went out to fellowship last evening. We had a good time, fellowship, talking, just hanging out for the evening. But as you walk through that environment, you can see what the world has become. Lesbian couples, one girl just had a baby with her little lesbian girlfriend with dreadlocks down her back. She was the little skinny man of the couple. And the pretty little girl who had the baby by somebody's semen, might have been some man that donated or somebody on. It's a sperm donor, so the lesbian couple will have a little baby. Pretty girl, with a lesbian mate walking around with impunity like it's normal. Homosexual guy out celebrating his birthday with three girls dressed like prostitutes taking his picture as he's posing, hitting poses with balloons. The homosexual guy hanging with his girlfriends like he's one of the girls. And little girls in there with booty shorts on and halters and all this stuff on taking a picture of their girlfriend, the homosexual. It's like you're walking through Mad Max or something. It's like something has happened here. women naked. I mean, you got your husband with a little baby and you still butt naked walking down the street. Why you still naked? You got a husband, you got a baby. Why you still got to be naked? It's Mad Max. It's the last generation on earth. Everybody got to show off all their tats. My tats are my calling card. I'm tatted up and I want you to see it. Cheeks hanging out the bottom of shorts everywhere. Butt cheeks hanging out the bottom of your shorts. What's wrong with you? Ma'am, are you aware that your butt is hanging out your shorts? Then you get cussed out. Not cursed out. You get cussed out for bringing it up. Homosexuals everywhere. Lesbians everywhere. Pretty little girls with thug life mates. Girl look more like a dude than a man does. And that's your mate. And you walk around hand in hand, proud of it. Your glory is in your shame. Your glory is in your disgrace. This is disgraceful. What woman would be proud of the fact that the best they can do in life is to get another hardcore lesbian as their mate? I'm talking about pretty, shapely girls. And the best you can do is to get another woman to be with you. That's pretty pitiful. But the guys walk by with each other, hugged up together, kissing and smooching. And I'm walking through this and I'm thinking, you know what, Lord? There's no hope for this place. What we got to do is sanctify the church and power that church up and make proclamations and issue ultimatums. You come over here or be damned. Repent or perish. We're not accommodating anyone. You got to change and be sanctified and washed from your sin to be saved. Their minds, you can tell, have been alienated. If you mention Jesus Christ in that arena, you're liable to get killed. They gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. They were biting on the boy like rabid dogs. But fear has crippled people. Phobias have taken hold. Like you got rabies or something. You know what happens when you get rabies, right? You get hydrophobia. What's hydrophobia? You get scared of water. Do you know if you get rabies, you get scared of water? That's what people like. They like they got rabies. They hydrophobic, got scared to death. What you scared of? I got the world in me. I still got Egypt in me. What you are outlining, I got in me. I can't confront what I am because in confronting what I am, I judge myself. See, if I confront sin full of sin, I judge myself when I do it. So I'll know everybody's got to be all right now. And they make anybody that brings it up judgmental. Yeah. Because I got it in me. You see how it works? Yeah. I'm judging people because you've got it in you and you don't want to let it go. But I'm here to tell you, this is the last call. You're damned lest you repent and turn away from the filth in you and come to God and let him expunge your soul from the damage done to you by living in this God-forsaken, filthy wilderness. It's time to let it go and let God. Sanctify yourself, insulate yourself from the electrical charges the devil's pulsating towards you, and for God's sake, become shockproof. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, take these words, quicken them to the human heart. Set us free. Set our minds free. The damage done to the human mind, God, nobody can comprehend what the devil's done to the human mind. But you, God, you know from supernatural sources, you know that the devil can be brought down and cast out from the human soul. God, bring people to repentance. Break this shackle on the human mind. Set these people's minds free from all the emanations, all the incantations of rap music and that stuff that's been wrapped into their soul, the stuff that's been wrapped around their souls that make the world a place that's familiar and nice and comfortable and making the kingdom of God foreign, distant, and something that's distasteful. That's the power of darkness. That I walk away with a mass murderer, a person that can only kill, steal, and destroy, and I walk down the street hand in hand with him, While a God that offers love and sobriety and peace, I see you as foreign and alien. I got the molester as my friend. I got the person that castrates as my friend. A woman walking away with a guy that will beat them to death as their friend. And the good man that will just care for them and nourish them and love them. I don't like no soft boy. You got to be thug life and street. Like Beyonce saying with Destiny's Child, you got to be street if you want to be with me. You got to be thug life. You got to be gangster if you want to be with me. And that's the dirty dog spitting in your face. While the decent young man who will treat you like a piece of gold, you see him as weak. No challenge. I don't like him. And then you find a guy from a decent family and try to convert him to be what you are, as a whore, as a tramp, as trash. The people who dwelt in Sodom and Gomorrah, when they saw the angels that were clean and sanctified, bring them out that we can make of them what we are. We've got to soil them. We're nasty, and we want to make them nasty like us. That's what Christian children don't understand when they're brought up under the fear and admonition of the Lord. The nasty world wants to contaminate you. They want to make you into what they are, because they're filthy. They're nasty. They're dirty. They're depraved. Sodomites wanted to sodomize you. God, we need power in the church. We need Holy Ghost power coming from a deep consecration and sanctification. We got to go back to the dictates of turning that plate over and fasting. I know Rashid and Latika fast every Wednesday all day. Barbara and I fast every Thursday all day. We need some couples to enlist in a day of fasting. A day of fasting and consecration unto God. Somebody got to break down these barriers. Somebody got to pound at the door of heaven until there's an answer from the living God. God, send forth rain on this planet. Bring alive the church. Consecrate and sanctify an army to do your will, O God. Vessels fit for the master to use. It's plain to see that people are losing their minds. People are being driven insane. The reprobate mind has come up before us. And God, before this last step of reprobation, intervene. I'm asking you to intervene. Homosexuality is the last give up before reprobation and being given over to a mind that cannot be saved. A condemned mind. A damned soul that cannot be saved. Cannot be reached. When we see lesbianism and homosexuality in front of us, we know the next phase is reprobation. Where God gave you over to the devil, so the devil can live through you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you will hate God. You will despise God. You spit on a Christian and you will slit a Christian's throat, because your father, the devil, just like Judas Iscariot, has turned you on the body of Christ. God, we're looking at it real time. People right up on lesbianism and homosexuality. Insane, about to be reprobate. If you don't intervene now, God, this is a damned generation, a damned planet. It's a hopeless situation. We need, God, divine intervention like never before, in Jesus' name. God, come on and set the captive free. For your glory and for your honor, we beg you, we implore you, we offer up, God, thanksgiving and worship before the throne of God, asking for you to make an invocation, an invitation to the lost to come. Come and dine. Come and sit down and be made whole. God, this is a volatile time. This is a desperate time. The Gadarene demoniac has come to town. We saw him all last night walking around in Atlanta downtown. The Gadarene demoniac, one after another. Go to a restaurant and the Gadarene demoniac is waiting on the table. Walk down the street and the Gadarene demoniac is walking past you. A family unit made up of Gadarene demoniacs, mother, father, and children. God, if I wasn't living through this, I wouldn't believe it. I didn't design the card deck, but I got to play the hand I'm dealt. It is what it is, and we've got to deal with it. In Jesus' name. Come, Lord Jesus, and stop this thing before it's unstoppable. Have mercy on the human mind and the human soul. God, come on. Have mercy on the human race. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last thing I mentioned, Dunamis Tabernacle. This is what we propose, a vision we paint. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision down and make it plain so that they that read it can run with it. We make it plain as we can on YouTube. We've written it down on our website, www.omegaministry.org. We've shown you on YouTube in the Dunamis Tabernacle presentation every phase of the plan. We reiterated on our website, it's all written down. All the diagrams, all the plans, all the ministries. You can find out where you fit in and what you can do if you called to do it in the outlay of the whole ministry. We wrote it down and made it plain for you to run with it. 1,000 people today, $800, we're up and running tomorrow morning. It's just that simple. 1,000 people will hear this message. We're asking for you to make one sacrifice, one hardcore push to get this thing up and running. We get it off the ground. It's just like a plane. Once in flight, it has its own fuel. It has its own propulsion. It will be powered up because the people in the community will come. I believe you get an atmosphere right, the magnetic draw of God's presence. The Bible says he added to the church daily them that would be saved. But he has to consecrate a foundational group that will say, look, let's just do this, man. Should be enough men to stand up and do it. But I'm asking the women, if the men won't do it, stand up yourself and let's go. We had enough foundational men to be a foundation for the church. We got to go now. It's desperation setting in. When you look at the streets, you see that the human being is becoming the minority as the demons begin to walk the street in human form. Man, somebody got to make a stand. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. 1,000 people will hear this message by Thursday. Another 1,000 or 2,000 will hear it by MP3. Don't stop sitting there. Either leave this alone or commit. But for God's sake, stop sitting there. He says, I would that you were either hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm throwing you up out of my mouth, Jesus said. If this is not for you, then leave it alone and go to whatever is for you. But we don't want to fool around with spectators. We want people that want to engage and get it done. You can think it's another man-made bunch of junk if you want to and personality driven. Man, everybody at the foundation won't even be around long enough to have it to be personality driven. When you're in a real spiritual warfare, you're engaging an enemy and anything is possible. But all you do is live as long as you live to get a job done. Sudden death is sudden glory for the real saint. It's all about the next man up. Everybody is a warrior in this. Equal footing for the first time in life. The Bible says, be in no respecter of persons. All you do is fulfill your calling and let election and make your calling sure you do your job. And God is going to reward you. If your job is to be the caretaker over the nursery and you do it proficiently in a disciplined fashion unto the Lord, you receive the same reward as an apostle, the same reward as Paul or Peter or James or John. You fulfill your calling as unto the Lord and you did it to the best of your ability, inspired by the Holy Ghost. That's all God is concerned with. Not position, not title, not what people are glorifying. But you did what he told you to do. You were a mechanic fixing the buses that took the church on tour to deliver evangelistic messages. You were a skilled, proficient diesel mechanic. And you did it unto the Lord to the best of your ability. You received the same reward as Paul the Apostle. Man, that's a mighty God right there. He doesn't care what you do. Just do what I called you to do and be dedicated to it. That's full. That's infallible, man. Infallible. Make your calling and your election sure. get up when we sign off, get to the web, www.omegaministries.org. Let's get this Dunamis Tabernacle up and running. And by the end of the year, man, we'll be engaging the devil. I'm not here to play with anybody. I'm here to get a job done. Everybody's on the altar, just like Isaac on the altar in Abraham's day. My kids on the altar. Everything's on the altar, man. I'm here to get a job done, to wrap this up, because we don't have the luxury of time. The world is corrupting right before our very eyes, letting us know that time is running out. We don't have the luxury of time. It's time to move, and move now with veracity and zeal. Get some heat in your butt. Get some inspiration in your butt. Man, inspire yourself. The apostle told Timothy, man, stir up the gift in you, man. Get some heat in your butt. Stir it up. Fast and pray until you feel that fire fall back in you. And stir yourself up. Stir up the gift in you, man. Stop sitting around the docile, pacifist, incapacitated, unable to do anything because you don't have the confidence. It's not self-confidence. It's the confidence and boldness of the Lord because you spent time around him. That's where you get it from. It's time to move. Get involved. Commit in Jesus' name. Stay out of the flesh. Stay out of the world. Stay away from the devil's plans and pursuits. And for God's sake, stay out of the matrix. See you back here next week. Wednesday night Bible study. Join us there. Wednesday night for Bible study. Be blessed. Have a good week. Commit, y'all. Get to the internet now and give. Support this effort in Jesus' name. Have a good day.